So we have some great visuals this weekend in our worship space. Our tongues of fire are hanging from the ceiling, seven red and one white. The parishioners asked me why there are eight tongues of fire when there's only seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. But of course, we have a white and blue one here for our Mother Mary to honor her, as we do always in this month of May. Maybe we could have 11 tongues of fire to represent the apostles remaining in that upper room. But I think this is significant enough for us to get that visual and understand it. I do know that we hang these flames up twice a year when we do confirmation for our eighth graders. That's usually in February. And this weekend when we celebrate Pentecost. And these dramatic invisible symbols help us visualize what it must have been in that upper room behind those locked doors. And just take a minute to put that visual in your mind, that image in your mind, being present in that upper room. It would have been full of doubt and sadness and fear. There was grief and sorrow because of the death of Jesus. Similar to what some of us, all of us, have probably experienced after the loss of a loved one when we gather together as a group to mourn that loss. And when we visualize that distress in that upper room, we can begin to appreciate the amazing birth of our church. That Jesus brings peace into that room, he brings his Spirit into that room, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit he shared at Pentecost. I've been a longtime catechist for the seventh and eighth grader students. I've taught the teens about this overlooked third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And how else to prep them for the sacrament of confirmation, after all, than to teach them about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are received through the graces and blessings of that sacrament. Many have called confirmation a mini Pentecost, each of us receiving the Spirit in a way similar to the disciples in the upper room. Maybe not that dramatic, but no less significant. As the bishop says at the confirmation rite, we're sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has been with us all along and remains sealed to us. The gifts confirmed through the sacrament of confirmation never stop giving. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge and reverence, wonder and awe, those all take time to fully understand. But right judgment and courage, those can be put to work immediately. Those are the favorites of my wives as she taught with me and always recommended to our young people and to the children as they headed off to various endeavors or went off to college to remember those two specific gifts of the Spirit. Joanne's advice was, you know right from wrong, choose right, and have the courage to do that. With confirmation, the sacrament, we share the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but it's not one and done, and that's what we want to impress upon those young people. Just as the Holy Spirit came with this roaring wind and these tongues of fire, in Christianity's first Pentecost, so too does the Spirit seek to be with us today. I think we would twist our faith into something unrecognizable if we're to think that the Spirit is not here with us now. That would be strange indeed. Just as the disciples were roused from their fear and charged to go spread the good news of Jesus, so too we need to be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That being open to the Spirit no doubt includes being receptive to the action of the Spirit within each and every one of us. St. Paul reminds us of that in the second reading. No one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. And Paul also tells us of the continued action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each of us for some benefit. And I think that's quite remarkable. To each individual, some gift is given. You have a gift, I have a gift. Each of us has a spiritual gift. The spiritual task for us is to open our eyes to that gift and to use it. We are called, all called, here and now to use the gifts of the Spirit in our world today. So what if in this parish community, every one of us identified his or her promised gift and then used it for the praise and glory of God? The world, or at least a small part of it, would be transformed. That is why we sang the beautiful psalm response, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. It is our response to the Spirit that is our present-day challenge. It's our holy task to find, accept, and use, nurture the gift promised to us through this scripture. Those gifts are freely given, and they come as a matter of grace, but they also come with an obligation to share them with the community. The spiritual gifts are not a path of personal or isolated holiness, not to be held tightly, but to be shared with one another. The first and most important gift Jesus gives us is simply himself, at the cross, in the Eucharist, and through the Word. All of the others depend upon these. The other gift he brings to his apostles is peace. Twice he pronounced it to them, peace be with you. That was not just a wish or even a prayer. It is a commandment, almost like a sacrament. There is no greater gift than you can give than yourselves, your presence to one another. Simply your presence to anyone who is in need. Here I am. I'm here for you. Be at peace. So together, let us set the world on fire through the Spirit, using the gifts given to each of us for each other's benefit.